Hello, my friends. This is Pastor D on Finding Hope Monroe podcast. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in and joining in, if you would, listening with us. As I progress, I'll probably get a little more organized or a little better, but this is all through a trial phase. And I thought, well, I'm working on something, so I thought it'd be maybe if I just kind of share it with you on the onset and give me, I guess you'd say, kill two birds with one stone, if you would. But I've been... Now, first of all, let me say, I don't know exactly when anybody's going to listen to this or when this is going to air or anything like that. So, just bear with me here. So, I'm putting together a sermon study for church Sunday service in the morning, Palm Sunday, and I'm kind of going through it, studying it, and so forth, and, you know, putting things together. I'm thinking to myself, basically, what this was this joyous acknowledgement of Christ coming into town and people acknowledging him as the Lord and Savior, as their King and Messiah. And I'm thinking to myself, why is Palm Sunday celebrated just a week before Easter? You think every Sunday we'd want to celebrate it as Palm Sunday, as the Lord God being our King and our Messiah. And I thought, well, you know what, let's play around with it a little bit today and see where we go, and see if anyone's open to what we have to say or I have to say, and we'll go from there. But I want to start, honestly, I want to start, first of all, with a prayer. Dear Lord God, again, I thank you for this day and this opportunity, Lord, and I pray that you'd use me as a vessel, Lord God, to be your eyes and your mouth and your hands and your feet. Open my heart and my mind to things you have for me to give to others. And I pray that those listening here today, that you open their hearts and their minds to what there is to be received. So, Lord, again, I just praise you in all we do, and I thank you in the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that being said, though, I want to read you a little scripture out of Matthew. It's actually Matthew 21, and this is kind of his grand entry, if you would, into the city, the journey coming into the city, building up to Palm Sunday, which building up to Easter. So let me read this. It says, Matthew 21, verse 1 through 11, it says, "Now when they draw near Jerusalem and came to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, is where Jesus sent two disciples, and saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them.' All this was done that they might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did this as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and colt, laid their clothes on them, and he set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them across the road. And the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is in the highest.' And when he came into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" I'm going to stop right there. Like I said, we do this, celebrate Palm Sunday, in order to I guess you could say, commemorate this triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into the streets of Jerusalem. And we see here where we read where the people were welcoming him with laying their cloaks and these palm branches down, proclaiming he is king. Now, let me say this too. The palm branches at that time, back in ancient history, if you would, they symbolized a form of goodness and purity, more like goodness and like victory, if you would. And these palm branches, I mean, to the point to where they were even depicted on coins and on these important buildings. Solomon had put, he had carved palm branches into the walls and doors of this beautiful temple he had as a symbol of their beauty and elegance. And, well, anyway, yeah, you see them all around inner rooms. They've been carved. Actually, it talks about this. Let me back up and slow down here a little bit. In 1 Kings 6, it actually talks about on the walls of the temple in both the inner and outer rooms, he had carved cherubims, palm trees, and open flowers as a sign of magnificence and beauty and all that wonderful stuff. And then we also see it, if we was to jump back in the book of Revelation, I think it's chapter 7, verse 9. You read about the people from different nations raising up palm branches in honor to Jesus. And like I said earlier, it is This is what they're doing in heaven at that time. And just imagine if I was like to be able to sit on the hillside or sit back at the side and watch this. Imagine everyone coming together just wearing these white robes and just waving these palm branches. Now, I know this is probably a little weird, but most of us have been to concerts when we were young and stuff. Remember sitting out in the crowd just kind of flicking your lighter in the air and rocking it back and forth and watching all the flames go? That's what I depicted as I sit there and I'm viewing. I know I'm kind of, I guess I'm out there. All right, I'm sorry, people. But I'm viewing this as the Lord, whether it be in heaven as the nations come together or as the city, as I'm sitting on the hillside watching as they come through, all these palm branches just waving back and forth from every tribe, every tongue, every language, just giving Lord God praises. Amen. I thought, just a beautiful sight. See, it was a sign of their unity, if you would, all coming together for one cause, and that was for never-ending praises to the Lamb God for his great love towards us. It's always, like I said, it is always Palm Sunday in heaven, and it should always be Palm Sunday on earth. We shouldn't just celebrate this the week before Easter, people. See, now let me get back to this. As Christ entered the city of Jerusalem, it was to fulfill this need, or this, I don't know how you say it, this passion for the resurrection, for the forgiveness and our redemption. All this has a greater purpose. This is a joyous occasion and the significance of Palm Sunday, okay? Now, again, I just keep visualizing these waving these palms, these palm branches, and laying them before him as he comes into town. This is something that should never be forgotten. This is to remember this triumphant entry into the kingdom of Jerusalem, if you would, entering Christ the King into Jerusalem. Let me say that. It was a significant event, not only to the people of Jesus' day, but it should be, from then right on through now, the Christians throughout history. See, imagine that sight. Like I said, the disciples, they spread their cloaks on the donkey for Jesus to sit, and then the multitudes come out to welcome him, laying before him their cloaks and then their branches of palm trees. See, the people hailed him, and they praised him as the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, the real purpose of Jesus' riding into Jerusalem was to make public his claim to be their Messiah, if you would, and the King of Israel, and in fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. See, unto this point, his ministry had no longer, well, to this point, his ministry was more of a private one, but now it's no longer private. It's to be known to everyone. See, before this, he told his disciples to be quiet about him, but now he wanted them to shout his praise and worship, do this to him openly for the world to hear. See, this was a big change of his ministry strategy now. See, the people responded by spreading their cloaks as an act of homage fit for a king. Now, well, my friends, Palm Sunday, therefore, was when Jesus was openly declaring to the people that he was their king and their Messiah, and that they had been the one they had been waiting for. Now, Matthew talks about this king coming. It's an exact fulfillment. It's a fulfillment of prophecy in Zechariah 9, verse 9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. Your king comes to you. Comes you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey." So on this first Palm Sunday, if you would, Jesus was riding into this capital city as this conquering king and hailed by the people with this enthusiasm and a humble submission, just praising him. The praises people lavished on Jesus, he didn't last long, though. They failed to recognize him as their savior for their sins. See, they welcomed him as a desire for this messianic deliverer, if you would, like this great military general or leader that was going to lead them into this revolt against the Romans. Well, against the Romans, against Rome. The Romans, however you want to look at it. But when he failed in their expectations, when he refused to lead this revolt, the crowds quickly turned against him. And it was just a matter of days. Days when they stopped screaming hosannas and started crying, "Crucify him." People, this is how the human heart acts. Man is sinful in the heart and very deceptive. See, transformation, well, it has to come within. It comes from the Spirit of God. See, he wants to give us this new heart and mind that could obey his will. And I praise God. See, that on that Palm Sunday, Jesus taught us this great change should come from within our own hearts. See, we've learned to love others because he first loved us on that cross. What lessons can you take from this text today? How can he reign as and triumph in us, in you? You know, Palm Sunday reminds us of God's plan for redemption. Reminds me for God's plan for redemption. Let me say that. This day did not happen by this instant decision or a spur-of-the-moment thing like so many of us usually do. Just snap of a finger and there it is. No, it was deliberate, it was premeditated, and it was maliciously planned event in the ministry of Christ. See, in the same matter, God has this great plan for our salvation. He knows that we have no ability on our own to go to him because of our sins. Our relationship with God has been blocked. All right? There's a dividing wall that separates us from God. We're divided. This is why God's plan has been revealed publicly on that Palm Sunday, if you would. See, God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the God-man, so that by his suffering and death, oh my friends, we now have life. We have the ability to have a life abundantly, too. Let me add that. We must share this great plan. So, again, what is his plan for our salvation? Well, first thing we have to understand, we have to acknowledge there is a problem, a need for. See, we are separated from God. It was Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." See, God is holy, and we are sinful. And this causes this gap between us. This causes this separation. You realize the word separate means disconnected or set apart from God's presence. Let me add that in there too, okay? See, we cannot enjoy the fellowship, and no amount of good works from our part can bridge that gap. And this creates a dilemma. So now we got to figure out a solution, okay? Well, a solution is, first of all, understand this. The work's been done. Let me put it this way. Christ died for us. Romans 5 verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ reached out to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The death on the cross, his death on the cross, was a demonstration of his great love in spite of our sinfulness. Now the great wonderful news is this means that the way has been made clear and the bridge to life has been made. All right? There's no other way to be saved but through Christ. Understand that. No good works, nothing I can do will I ever be worthy. Nothing. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we must understand. First of all, we must repent and believe. Let me say that. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from your presence of the Lord." Wow. See, that the way, now that the way has been made clear, we must repent from our sins and believe in the Lord. See, understand, repentance, it requires a sincerity in the heart of a person who wants to turn away from the corruption of sin. Repentance is a little different than just asking for forgiveness. See, a lot of times we get caught in the moment and we ask for forgiveness and we go right back on and we never really repented. We never really changed direction. See, repentance is turning away from. So if I make a mistake, God forgives me. And then when I repent of that sin, what I'm saying is, "God, okay, forgive me. Thank you, Lord." Now when I turn away from that sin, that direction, I repent from it. I look away. It's no longer an issue, okay? Now, this requires a voluntary change of heart through the grace of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of us, in the hearts of a believer, okay? Through repentance, a person experiences this personal renewal, and it starts, and then when we get this inward transformation. So when I think of, or I reflect upon Palm Sunday, it should remind me, it should remind all of us, my friends. And again, Palm Sunday shouldn't be just a Sunday before Easter. Palm Sunday should be every Sunday I walk in here in the presence of the Lord. So it should remind me that he is our King. He is my King. He is the creator of us all who existed from the very beginning. He reigns over us and he deserves our full allegiance. Amen? The world system, then this earthly kingdom, I'm telling you right now, does not recognize Christ as King. They despised him then, rejected him then, and they despise and reject him this day. This is why his kingdom is not of this world, and therefore we are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of an eternal kingdom in heaven. Jesus Christ is our home to come, eternity with him in the heavens. Amen. So Palm Sunday reminds us that we have to receive him with humble enthusiasm. Was it Matthew 21:7 says, they bought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. Do you notice what the disciples did in obedience to Christ's command? They stripped off their heavy outer garments and put them on as trappings on the two beasts, if you would, the donkey and the colt, not knowing on which one the master may ride. This was an expression of their humble submission to the Lord's plan. It was also a sign of respect and paying homage to their king. It didn't matter the condition of the clothes. It didn't matter it was only a colt or a donkey. Christ was satisfied because the love of his disciples. Well, what Christ is looking for is a heart and obedience from his subjects. From you and I, people. Understand that. That's the kind of heart that God wants to see from each one of us. Something that's pure, committed, dedicated, and sincere. Now, a question I guess I'll throw at you right here. Do you know him? Is he your Lord and Savior? Do you know the true purpose of his coming? You know, if you listen to the conclusion of the crowd, Matthew 21:11, it said the crowd's answer, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The crowd gave his name Jesus, his title prophet, the dwelling place of Nazareth. They put it all out there. They call him prophet because he has been commissioned by God. They told about his earthly dwelling and place in Nazareth, but they did not declare that Christ was their king and the awaited Messiah. See, no wonder their enthusiasm was being dampened, and within the week they were yelling, crucify him. My friends, they missed the whole point. We must learn from their mistake. We must develop an attitude of praise in our lives, not for today, not even for tomorrow, but for all of eternity. We should praise the Lord always. Amen? Amen. You know, I'm still working on this, but I'm gonna close with this. I found some different sermons and stuff, and I've been kind of picking them apart, looking at different things and points that I really enjoy. But let me close with this right here, then I'll continue on maybe another part two someday. But bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. That is Psalms 104, verse 1. I want to just close today with saying this. Christ is worthy of all the glory we could give him because he is God. And I truly pray he is your God, your King, your Savior. And I thank you for listening today. Like I said, I'll be maybe getting a little more intentional and a little more direct and a little more organized. I'll probably never be professional. But anyway, I just want to take this opportunity, one, to help me hone this skill a little bit if I'm going to do this. And two, bring the Word of God to light, and I pray that somebody out there can glean something from this, and it don't fall on deaf ears. So until we get together again, I just want to say thank you for tuning in, and keep me in your prayers, and I in your prayers always, and till we talk again, bye for now. I'll see you soon, my friends.